This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And there are lots of Americans who still consider this nation to be the greatest on earth, despite the fact that our two political parties, not so great. I mean, if you look at basically the polling on this, the number of people who identify as Republicans, which, by the way, has gone up pretty sharply in the recent polls, the Republican Party is still a minority of people, even a minority of people in the party, according to some polls, approve of where it is going. The same is true of Democrats. We have actually two-thirds of Americans, more than, who now believe we're headed in the wrong direction. Both parties stink, says Matt Bai. Matt Bai is a columnist who I've always enjoyed for the Washington Post. He's a journalist, he's an author, and he's a screenwriter. He spent more than a decade at the New York Times, where he was the chief political writer for the Sunday magazine and a columnist for the newspaper. He came out with a column recently that I thought was outstanding, and I'm glad to talk to him about it. He said, "I reject both parties' ideas of Americanism, and I'm not the only one." So let me ask you this, Matt. In practical terms, you've for a long time talked about the possibility of an independent or a third-party candidate getting elected as president. Do you think we're ready for that?
What a good question to start. It's good to talk. Thanks for having me back, Michael. It's always nice to talk to you. I appreciate the intro. And, I do think we're ready for that. I think we're only missing one thing, actually, and that's the candidate, which is not a small thing, because I don't believe, to be clear about it, I don't believe we're looking at third party. I think people are tired of parties. I think the culture has moved away from joining and moved away from institutional affiliations. And I think what Trump showed is the power of personality, essentially, over the power of party. And so I don't think we'll see a new party in America. I think we will eventually, inevitably, see a personality outside the two-party system who will dominate and change that system. The barriers that have always existed in terms of money, ballot access, party loyalty, they've all been basically obliterated. But you do need somebody with a fair amount of name recognition and resources, probably, and something to say. And to this point, that person hasn't stepped forward, and I don't know who it is, but the conditions have never been more hospitable.
Well, I know that I was trying to go through my own mind thinking about, okay, who is it who would have the star power and the charisma and the desire to possibly run outside the traditional two-party system and get elected as president? And, you know, there's only one likely third-party winner if it came to that, and you know who it is.
Tell me. I'd love to know.
It's Donald Trump, and it's one of the reasons that so many anti-Trump Republicans like me are so terribly worried about this next big election, because I think it's possible that Trump would not win at this point in his career. He would not necessarily win the Republican nomination, and if it looks like he would have a serious challenge for the Republican nomination, he could probably make more money and gain more support if he just had the America First Party. And you can see it. It's something else new that he could announce that would make clear that the whole purpose of the endeavor was to promote him personally rather than a bunch of the rhinos that he has contempt for.
That's a great point, Michael. I mean, I could see, not only could I see that scenario, I could also see him running, you know, what we sort of call a sour grapes campaign, right? Losing a Republican primary, or at least, you know, looking like he's losing a Republican primary, which I don't rule out, because he's never faced a binary choice or anything like it with the Republican electorate, and deciding to go as an independent anyway, just to keep the brand alive and create as much havoc as possible, would almost certainly lead to a Democratic win, I think. But you know, it would be interesting in your scenario if he runs an independent. Does that draw other independents? You know, is there an Oprah-type figure out there or a Mark Cuban or somebody who says, well, if he's going to go, I'm going to go, right? I think somebody, what Trump showed us, and actually President Obama to an extent before him, was that you could commandeer a party successfully with the power of personality, that the party regulars didn't decide anymore who people would vote for. I think the next iteration of our political change, which is happening quickly, even though it feels to us like it's not, is that someone will show the ability of an independent to transcend the party system. And once that happens, it will be impossible to stop. I think it will be an invitation to a whole lot of people to get involved in a different kind of political process that I can't really predict.
How would an independent transcend the two-party system? I mean, I know Andrew Yang is trying to do that with his Forward Party. That's probably not the answer.
Right.
But it just seems to me that most independents who have gotten elected on the statewide level are like Joe Lieberman for his last term in the Senate, mm-hmm, was elected mm-hmm. as an independent. Remember, Jesse Ventura was an independent governor of Minnesota, and that didn't work out particularly well at all. Where have we seen this as a viable model in recent American politics?
I spent a lot of time with Jesse Ventura, actually. It was a complicated 4 years, but it was very formative in my thinking about this. I mean, on the presidential, on the national level, we've seen it. I think the most impressive foray we've seen, and it's before a lot of the times of people now looking at politics, was Ross Perot, right, in 1992, who probably helped Clinton get elected. But Perot did, what, 18% of the vote, I think, the first time out, which was staggering. At that time, quite staggering for an independent candidate. No one had heard of really before then. He had a lot of money. Now the money is actually less important, and I think the system is actually more hospitable. I think what the blueprint isn't really hard to see in my mind. You take a celebrity candidate, or somebody with a lot of resources, a good story to tell. You wait out the primary process, which is a process through which both parties' nominees are inevitably beaten down and discredited and wear themselves out way too much in the minds of the electorate. But by the time they're done, people have all kinds of doubts about them. And then you jump in late. What you need, the ballot access laws are difficult because they're state by state. They're designed to be difficult. But, you know, with enough money and organization in advance of the campaign, you can certainly, you know, thanks to the Internet more than ever, you can certainly organize a campaign to get on those ballots, and you can certainly get into the debate if you're polling at an even, you know, modestly impressive level. So I would say, you know, if somebody came to me and said, hey, is this doable? I would say, yeah, it's really doable. Plan for it. Spend some money. Do some organizing. And get in late. I think that's the point.
Okay, there's another plan, and I hope we can spend a few more moments and talk about it, which is the Republicans are talking about putting together what's called a commitment to America, which would be like the contract with America, which would have some areas of agreement that could bring the various factions of the party together for what Republicans hope will be a resounding victory on the House level and the Senate level coming up. Isn't it possible that a great deal of what you are talking about here as discrediting the Republican Party could be taken care of by a really energizing new Republican majority that could arrive on Capitol Hill and help to redefine the party away from Trumpism? We will get to that and more with Matt Bai, columnist for the Washington Post, read all around the world, and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
I'm, of course, deeply honored to receive
the Michael MedVet Show.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Michael Medved Show, my pleasure to be speaking again to Matt Bai, nationally syndicated columnist through the Washington Post. He has written a terrific column that I think is worth everyone reading. It's going to offend everyone. If you're a committed Republican, a committed Democrat, you won't like this because he has harsh words for both parties right now. And the question, Matt, really becomes, usually when there have been very, very polarized situations where both parties seem unable to work on what Arthur Schlesinger called the vital center, basically to actually concentrate on actually getting things done for the American people. They're too busy trying to destroy one another. A lot of that has had to do with, like, profound differences on issues. But that's not really the case with this crisis, is it?
Well, there are, I would say there are profound differences on the issues, Michael, but you're, what you're getting at, I think you're right, is that the more profound divide here is almost cultural, demographic. It's really about, our version of America. I mean, we have in America more than ever before, I would say, a common culture, a commonality of media, of stores and products and design, and one city to the other. As you know, when you travel around America, every place in America more or less looks like every place else, which wasn't the case 50 years ago and certainly not 100 years ago. And yet, I think because of that, there is this battle for whose interpretation of the culture, whose interpretation of Americanness will prevail. It's no longer a country of regions. It's one entire country under a single federal government, and for that reason, I think the stakes of who controls that is very high. And so I guess counterintuitively, even though we share so much more than we used to in our daily experiences, we've broken off into tribes that consume different media, that have different values, that look to different icons. As many people have pointed out, it essentially creates a duality in the country that is probably cultural before it has to do with the issues, and results in really every 2 years sort of death struggle for who's going to control Congress, and every 4 years who's going to control the White House, and it seems to come down to a very small number of votes.
Okay, what do you say, Matt Bai, to Republicans who point out that just today the Gallup organization says that 47% of Americans call themselves Republicans, while only 42% say they're Democrats? And by the way, 1 year ago it was the other direction. 1 year ago only 40% said Republican, 49% said Democrats. So the Democrats have lost some 9 points of identification, while the Republicans have gained 7 points of identification. Why are the Republicans, who control nothing in Washington, basically, you could say, well, they're Republican appointees who dominate the Supreme Court, but leave the Supreme Court aside. Don't control the House, don't control the Senate, don't control the presidency. So the party in power right now has lost 9% identification in 1 year. And Republicans can look at that and say, well, we're doing just fine. I mean, there may be people like Matt Bai who are disillusioned with us, but look at the polls and look at the expected victory that Republicans, yeah, I think, have every reason to expect coming up in the fall.
Yeah, well, they're not doing just fine. And you pointed to the truth of the matter when you talk about the volatility of those numbers year to year. We're in a cycle now. We've seen this pattern now for most of the time I've been covering politics, and that's a long time. I mean, we're talking about decades now, where the public is dissatisfied, particularly the sort of broad center of the country is very dissatisfied. Independents are really dissatisfied. And they sort of ping-pong back and forth to whoever's out of power and has less responsibility for the mess. And, we've had more wave elections. We've had every president lose control of Congress, going back, I think, 4 administrations. Now, that's unprecedented. We keep having majorities tossed out and replaced. People forget. If you've grown up, if you're 30 years old in this country, you have no idea. That didn't happen for, more than a handful of times in 75, 80 years in America, for most of the 20th century.
Yeah, so, after the New Deal, the Democrats controlled the House of Representatives for 40 years.
Yeah, and then again for 30 years. I mean, there was a small break in there, but, the Democrats dominated Congress for the better part of 70 years, and Republicans for a lot of that time controlled the White House. But it was, you know, we have a tremendous amount of instability now, and that's a dissatisfaction. And the pattern we have now is as soon as somebody wins an election based on nothing but lack of incumbency, they sweep into town. This is, I say into town here because I'm in Washington. They sweep into town declaring that their agenda, such as it is, which really it never is all that great, has been ratified. They proceed to overreach and try to somehow transform or dismantle the government, depending on which party we're talking about. And within 18 months, everybody's dissatisfied again and moving over to the other side. So we have this constant, this kind of willful misinterpretation of the electorate, when really all the electorate is saying, Democrat, Republican, year in, year out, is stop this craziness and govern responsibly and pragmatically. And that never happens. So I put very little stock in the party numbers because year to year, all they're really telling you is that people are fed up and want a better government than they have and the government that, frankly, they deserve.
Can you imagine a situation where what we get in 2024 is a rematch between the two aging baby boomers, Joe Biden and Donald Trump?
Yeah, it's funny. Somebody said I was perusing Twitter the other day, which is a very bad idea generally, and somebody said that somebody congratulated the New York Times crossword puzzle, of which I'm a great devotee, because it turned 80, and my comment was, well, now it's old enough to run for president, right? But I don't think we're going to see that. I mean, look, nobody, I don't have a crystal ball. Sure, we could flash forward and that could be the case. But there's a lot of instability on both sides. I think on the Republican side, like I said earlier, Trump has really only faced a very crowded and divided field in the establishment of the Republican Party. So depending on how many people are willing to take a race against him, if he wants to run again, I think the math could be very different for him. It's not an easy run, although he certainly would be a favorite. And then on the Democratic side, everything I'm hearing, as I'm sure everything you're hearing, tells me that most people consider it unlikely that President Biden runs for re-election. I know he's saying he will. I'm sure he has not made that decision with any finality. He may think he wants to, but I don't think that decision's been made. And I think there's as much chance as not that he will.
But you don't think there's much chance for Kamala Harris, do you?
I don't see her as, like most people, I don't see her as an incredibly strong candidate. Certainly the vice presidency doesn't confer on you.
That's very, very mild judgment there. A very mild and measured judgment. Matt Bai, appreciate it. Your column is posted at our website about I Reject Both Parties' Ideas of Americanism. Let's cultivate a better idea of Americanism. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Republican lawmakers capitalizing on the growing national pushback on COVID-19 precautions are amping up their efforts to implement a return to normalcy, proposing a flurry of legislative activity aimed at rolling back several Biden administration precautions. The Biden administration's pandemic exit strategy is being tested as Democratic governors in multiple states are preempting the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and rolling back masking requirements, while the CDC said that it would deliver up
updated guidance by next week, Republicans are stepping on the gas and hoping to demonstrate that the party is delivering normalcy by rolling back restrictions, serving as a referendum on President Joe Biden's mishandling of the COVID-19 pandemic. More Americans applied for unemployment benefits last week following three straight weeks of declines. Jobless claims rose by 23,000 to 248,000 last week, according to the Labor Department. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The Michael Medved Show, as we try to emphasize on this show all the time, not all the news you get is bad. Now, is there anyone out there who takes this as bad news? Here's the headline. A headline from the Wall Street Journal. Not from the New York Times, not from the Washington Post. It's from the conservative-minded Wall Street Journal headline. Vaccine during pregnancy protects babies. Okay, babies, of course, are vulnerable. I mean, anybody who's held a newborn, that newborn needs protection. One of the ways you get protected, says this report in the Wall Street Journal, is getting a COVID-19 injection and booster while you're pregnant. Listen to this. Babies born to mothers who got vaccinated during pregnancy were significantly less likely to be hospitalized for COVID-19, a study led by federal researchers showed, adding to growing evidence of the benefits of maternal vaccination. A study published Tuesday by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, that's 2 days ago, found that COVID-19 vaccination during pregnancy was 61% protective, meaning that babies who were less than 6 months old, when whose mothers were vaccinated, were 61% less likely to be hospitalized with COVID-19. Among babies with COVID-19 admitted to the ICU, 88% were born to mothers who were not vaccinated before or during pregnancy. And that's pretty telling, isn't it? When you think that 80% of these babies who were born in trouble were born sick with COVID-19, 88% were unvaccinated mothers. The study strengthened evidence that COVID-19 shots provide protection to babies through vaccination for pregnant women. We have overwhelming data that the vaccine protects women from death and serious outcomes. This is another piece of information and another piece of data that vaccinating pregnant women also protects infants from bad outcomes as well. So said Linda Eckert, who is a professor of obstetrics and gynecology right here at the University of Washington. Okay, I think that's good news. And then there's other news that is, really, it's just strange, and it's complicated how to feel about it, because one of the problems we have in the United States, of course, is that jackpot justice, particularly with various liability suits, sometimes with defamation suits. I mean, that's the one main reason that I was actually kind of gratified at the outcome of the Sarah Palin New York Times trial, because I think we have too many people who sue on too many flimsy bases, just on the chance that they may get some kind of settlement, that they may make money, and that the person you're going after will just decide, you know what, I'm going to settle this because I will save me untold millions in legal fees. Okay, the headline, Sandy Hook gun settlement reached. The settlement was a lot of money. It's $73 million to be paid by Remington, gun maker, who's already in total bankruptcy, by the way. There's no telling where they're going to get the money. In fact, they're not going to get the money. It's being paid by their insurance companies. They were insured against liability settlements, and so the insurance companies are paying $73 million to the Sandy Hook victims. Now, look, when you've lost a child in a horrible situation like that, there's not enough money in the world that can make up for it. But the settlement is the largest of its kind and the first since a federal law was enacted in 2005, providing gun makers with broad protection from liability in the unlawful use of their weapons, said Timothy Litton, Georgia State University College law professor. The point about this is the protections that were passed were against being sued if the gun didn't function properly, if the gun blew up in your hand or something like that. Of course you could sue then. But basically saying, why are you suing gun makers for manufacturing a legal product? And guns are a legal product. We do have a Second Amendment. For manufacturing a legal product that has not shown to be defective in some way. The essence of this was they were talking about the ads that were used in various places. The family sued Remington under Connecticut's Unfair Trade Practices Act, which is a broad consumer protection that prohibits unfair, deceptive ads in commerce. They said Remington violated that law because it promoted materials for the Bushmaster rifle that encouraged violent behavior. They had one ad in particular that cost them $73 million. Is the picture of the gun, and the headline was, "Consider your man card restored." And they suggested that this is the kind of appeal that could have reached people like the horrible shooter who murdered his mother and murdered those six teachers and those 20 kids in Newtown, Connecticut. In any event, what's interesting about this is that basically it's the insurance companies that forced the settlement. It didn't go to trial. And a lot of legal experts look at this and say if it had gone to trial, it's not at all clear that they would have gotten a settlement like this. And speaking about big settlements, there is this headline, NFL Cowboys pay cheerleaders $2.4 million. And no, it was not for doing anything compromising. It was for a charge the cheerleaders made of something that allegedly happened in the locker room 5 years ago. The Dallas Cowboys
paid $2.4 million in settlements to cheerleaders over a 2015 incident in which a top executive was accused of being in their locker room with his cell phone out while they undressed. The allegations were made against Rich Dalrymple, the club's longtime senior vice president for public relations and communications, who was a top lieutenant for Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. In a statement to ESPN, which earlier reported the settlement, Mr. Dalrymple denied wrongdoing. He didn't respond to a request for comment. A spokesman for the team said the allegations were investigated thoroughly at the time and no wrongdoing was found. And given that no wrongdoing was found, everyone agrees that if he was in the locker room, and he was there for a matter of seconds. It wasn't even a minute. The question is, was he actually trying to take pictures? They analyzed his cameras and all his accounts and everything. There are no images that implicated him. Mr. Dalrymple told investigators he was in the room for a matter of seconds before leaving, and they had gone in there to use the bathroom, the person said. Months later, in May 2016, the team and Mr. Dalrymple agreed to the $2.4 million settlement with the cheerleaders, in which Mr. Dalrymple denied the allegation of voyeurism. So, in other words, the cheerleaders had to deal with a situation where there was a man who had come into their area while they were changing and had to use the bathroom. And they're compensated for $2.4 million. Again, for Dallas Cowboys fans, this may be dreadful, and there are other people who feel about the Cowboys. Anything bad that happens to them, maybe that's good for the world. Speaking of good for the world, a staunch liberal, somebody way out to the left, writes a great column saying, you know all those warnings about a coming civil war? They're ridiculous. We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
The pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad. And since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free. So I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain, the whole world to gain. michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN, Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead
and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Michael Medved show. Jamil Bowie is a visiting fellow at the University of Virginia. He's a columnist for the New York Times. He's a very strong spokesperson for the issues and interests of the black community. And Jamil has a terrific column. I mean, I think it's the first time I've read something by him where I agree with it almost entirely. Shocking. And the headline is, Why We Are Not Facing the Prospect of a Second Civil War. And why haven't you heard more about the sanity that, no, we're not on the verge of a second civil war. We're in a miserable time in terms of our politics, and everybody seems to be angry at one another, and the parties are polarized. But no, it's not a civil war. Listen, this is what he says. He says, it has not been uncommon in recent years to hear Americans worry about the advent of a new civil war. Is civil war ahead? The New Yorker asked last month. Is America heading to civil war or secession? CNN wondered on the anniversary of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. Last week, Representative Adam Kinzinger of Illinois said on The View that we have to recognize the possibility of a civil war. I don't think it's too far of a bridge to think that there's a possibility. Congressman Kinzinger, I respect you a lot, but you're just baseless on that. This isn't just the media or the political class. It's public opinion, too, writes Jamil Bowie. In a 2019 survey for the Georgetown Institute of Politics, the average respondent said that the United States was two-thirds of the way toward the edge of a civil war. In a recent poll conducted by the Institute of Politics at Harvard, 35% of voting-age Americans under 30 placed the odds of a second civil war at 50% or higher. Okay. That's amazing. And in a result that says something about the divisions on hand, 52% of Trump voters and 41% of Biden voters said that they at least somewhat agree that it's time to split the country with either red or blue states leaving the Union and forming their own country, according to a survey conducted by the Center for Politics at the University of Virginia, where he is a visiting scholar, he points out.
Several related forces are fueling this anxiety, from deepening partisan polarization and our winner-take-all politics to the sharp divisions across lines of identity, culture, and geography. There is the fact that this country is saturated with guns. So, as well as the reality that many Americans fear demographic change to the point that they're willing to do pretty much anything to stop it. There is also the issue of Donald Trump, his strongest supporters, and their effort to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential election. Americans feel further apart than at any point in recent memory. And as a result, many Americans fear the prospect of organized political violence well beyond what we saw on January 6, 2021. While white America has been divided over slavery, well, here is the point that he makes. He makes that there is a serious problem with the narrative. The Civil War we fought in the 19th century was not sparked by division qua division. And while Americans had been divided over slavery for 50 years before the crisis that led to the war in 1861, the Missouri crisis in 1820, the nullification crisis of 1832, the conflict over the war with Mexico in 1846, the compromise of 1850, they all reflect the degree to which American politics rested on a sectional divide over the future of the slave system. And his point, it seems to me, is absolutely unassailable. It's correct, and clearly correct. The growth of an avowedly anti-slavery public in the North wasn't just a challenge to the political influence of the South. It also threatened to undermine the very slave economy itself, and thus the economic basis for Southern power. In other words, there was one issue in particular that was a profound moral issue for people in the North who by 1860 had become overwhelmingly anti-slavery. There was, aside from that issue, the issue of the South, of economic survival. Because even if you weren't a plantation owner who owned bunches of slaves, even if you had nothing personally to do with the slave system, it was very clear that the prosperity of your entire section was dependent on that issue. And people were willing to sacrifice their lives, not just for the sake of slavery, but for their own economic and sectional benefit. It was the realization of that threat to the South that the election of Abraham Lincoln, whose Republican Party was founded to stop the spread of slavery, and was and who inherited a federal state with the power to do so, that pushed Southern cities to gamble their future on secession. They would leave the Union and attempt to forge a slave empire on their own. The lack of that kind of issue right now, an issue where people feel that if we don't stop these other people, it's worth dying. Is there an issue like that in which we would fight a civil war? Do you think so? If you do, you can give me a call, 1-800-955-1776. And then there's the issue of reparations. It's Black History Month, and there's a museum, a prominent museum in Maryland, in Baltimore, that that says, a big headline, Black History Month, reparations now, and exploring why and how reparations should and can be paid to affected members of the Black community. This discussion will explore why and how reparations should and can be paid. Notice they don't say whether reparations should be paid. It's just they're going to talk about why and how reparations should be paid to Black communities affected by legacies of systemic oppression, such as slavery and racial violence in the United States. The conversation will focus on the deep urgency of reparations and how we can all be a part of this important restorative process. Topics will include the past and present economic implications of slavery and racial violence on Black people in the U.S., among other issues. And then, of course, all the participants are pro-reparations people. University of Chicago students and nearby residents demand that the University of Chicago, give $1 billion in reparations to Southside neighborhoods. If the university is going to stay here and be the major presence in this community, they need to do something to contribute to the community, a longtime Woodlawn resident said, as if the University of Chicago didn't contribute to the Southside as it was. The idea of the University of Chicago paying reparations when it wasn't even established until after the Civil War. And then there's California. Supporters of a federal effort to study reparations for black Americans are closely watching an ongoing debate in California over how to address the wrongs of history and dismantle racist structures. California is the first state in the nation, naturally, to seriously consider some form of statewide reparations for black Americans. The California Reparations Task Force is made up of academics, lawyers, civil rights leaders, lawmakers, and other experts, convened by Governor Gavin Newsom, and it is tasked with studying the state's role in perpetuating the legacy of slavery. The task force is expected to recommend proposals to the legislature by next year. No, they won't come out with any proposal before the election because it's toxic. Look at the polling. Polling shows that the black community is divided on the issue of reparations. And that is astonishing. And we are to talk about the effort to sell reparations. You may remember during the presidential election before the Democratic convention, the issue came up and most of the Democratic candidates favored at least some form of study of reparations. This is a deeply demented idea. It is wrong-headed in every way. And you talk about something that would divide the country and divide every ethnic group within that ethnic group. This is not a good move for America if we are to remain this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients. And it's alcohol-free, too. It's vine-to-bar chocolate. Order some today at vine-to-bar.com. That's vinetobar.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's vine-to-bar. Vine-to-bar chocolate. Visit us at vine-to-bar.com.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.